Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah.
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We've got Trevon Edwards. We got Mo Dakiel. We got Jay King. We got Jade Hoy producing, and we got a hell of a show for you today. We're going to get into our mid-season awards as we are at the midway point in the NBA season, thanks to all of those 10-day hardships for not letting the season shut down at all. We're going to get into the Mavs being streak ruiners. We got Memphis surging, and we've got a couple of big injuries, and we'll start off with maybe the scariest injury around the league right now. Kevin Durant had his own teammate crash into his knee, very reminiscent of the Anthony Davis play in Minnesota, with the way his knee was hyperextended a little bit. Anthony Davis ended up, I think the prognosis at the time was 4 to 6 weeks. With Durant, the prognosis is 4 to 6 weeks with a knee sprain. And so this is going to shape how the Eastern Conference, and I guess the NBA as a whole, is going to look, because Kevin Durant is arguably the MVP, arguably the best player in the world, arguably the most dangerous player in the world, and he's kept the Nets really not just afloat, but towards the top of the Eastern Conference all season long. If he misses a month, sure, they have Kyrie back part-time, but now this is going to be on James Harden and the role players to really buckle down and keep their positioning up near the top of the East, maybe even hope to try to overtake the Bulls, because the Bulls have fallen a little bit and they've got their own injury that we'll get into in a little bit. But just with the Kevin Durant injury, Jay, when you saw the play yesterday, I guess Saturday, for the listener, when you saw the play on Saturday, I know for me, my heart like sank. Like, I was like, come on, man, we can't have this. And at least it's nothing worse than a knee sprain, which is still serious, but 4 to 6 weeks is a lot better than season ending.
Yeah, and it was such a fluke play too. Like, it would have been, I'm glad it's only 4 to 6 weeks. This shouldn't derail his whole season. But at the same time, the Nets are just two games up on sixth place right now. These 4 to 6 weeks, he could come back and they're out of home court advantage, which maybe is a good thing because Kyrie can't play at home.
But it was planned.
But they don't have a lot when Kevin Durant is not in the lineup. He has done everything for them this year. With Kyrie out, with Harden not playing at the level he's played at in the past consistently, so much has been on Durant's shoulders. And you do wonder if that had some impact in the injury. I know it was a fluke. I know a teammate just crashed into him. But he was playing more minutes than he had since 2013-14 season, when I believe he was the MVP. And there was just so much on his shoulders. There is so much on his shoulders. So you wonder what they're going to look like without him. And now Harden's going to have to be fantastic. Do you call Kyrie at some point and say, Kyrie?
I don't think that's going to...
I don't think now at this point
he's like, you know what? All right. I believe in like fighting this mask or this vaccine mandate, right? Like, I believe in fighting all this stuff. But KD got hurt. I'm going to change my mind. I don't think that's what's going to happen now. I don't think that's the tipping point for him.
The one thing is, when you look at the schedule, you obviously don't want KD to get hurt. But if you do, this is kind of a good time in the sense of 12 of their next 16 games are on the road. So that's really just four games where it's no Kyrie. And it's just Harden at home having to carry the weight. Like, it kind of broke a little bit in a way where at least they're going to have the majority of those games with theoretically Kyrie and Harden on the court together.
Yeah, Trey.
At the same time, that's a tough road stretch without your best player and an MVP candidate.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a huge crater for a guy that has done everything for them.
Jay, I agree with you. I can't believe Mo thinks this is good for the Nets Kevin Durant is. But let's move on. Trey, do you think we could see James Harden try to get back to that Houston James Harden mode, or has that ship sailed, like where he's doing everything, and he's played well lately, and I think he's been better than most people give him credit for this season, but I don't know if you can just ramp back up at the drop of a dime to be the 40% usage guy who's getting, you know, 35
8-8 or 35-10-8 or whatever that's going to end up having to be.
I don't think it's solely on James' play. I mean, I think it's more so on the inconsistency of the roster being complete, and the role shifting. James is the third option, and he knows that he's the third option in this situation. But when his role is changed to first or second, that's when it gets inconsistent. So his early comments about, like, what should he do? I mean, it's laughable to some point, but it's really not, because you're preparing a certain way mentally to lock in certain to the game, the same way Patty Mills has struggled as being a starter versus coming off the bench. You have to kind of not overthink it as much, but that's the sports psychology of it. The Nets have only played, 10 plus games with the big three together out of like over 100 games, So this isn't something that's like, Kyrie, go get vaccinated so you can play. This is actually a good problem for the Nets, because those rookies are forced to be in uncomfortable situations and learn their roles and be more of an asset than hurting them. You know what I mean? The real game experiences. And they've been looking great. I think they have like one of the most sleeper rookie class. Sharp's getting better by each game. Kessler Edwards has come in and been effective. Mm-hmm. Duke Jr.'s got some couple starts, And then, of course, Cam Thomas has been aggressive as far as a score. So this just gets Cam Thomas a little bit more reps on the offensive end. And, it's an unfortunate play, freak accident. Bruce Brown ass is out there flopping. He shouldn't have been on the floor. But
that's true. That's
things,
a good point.
Things happen that way. Things happen that way. They're up big. It was a nasty game. The Pelicans, they're not one of the best teams at the moment. And, sloppy basketball is going to occur. You have to think about it. If Mo and you are hooping at LA Fitness and guys are goofing around and someone says, hey, let's play serious because somebody's going to get hurt. Right. That was the exact play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he could have defended a little bit. Well, he tried to get the charge or whatever it is, the push off. And it ironically lands into, Kevin Durant's knee. So it's a freak play. I mean, I'm honestly shocked it doesn't happen more,
Trey, right? With that kind of stuff with guys, with guys flopping around. Like that is a really dangerous, and you don't know who's behind you.
Yeah. You don't know. And it's a gamble. So, I mean, I'm not saying that he should be fine, but it should be a lesson to across the league that, that makes the sport even more cautious and dangerous. It's not as physical as football, but those are the physical aspects of a weird play and what it could cost you. You know what I mean? And luckily he doesn't have any, tears or something that's going to cost him, a great deal. You know what I mean? I've seen somebody put out that, he's been playing too much. It had zero to do with the minutes played.
He had an adult fall into his leg. Like
that's all it comes down to, at the end of the day. But I think the Nets will be fine. I'm not sure if it was Mo or Jay that mentioned that this may work out in their favor as far as, home court advantage. Now that they're on the road, they have an extra body who they, need. And also, do they test the market and go get someone? Not shake it up too much, but bring in one more person. You know what I mean? It's normally Lakers normally get rewarded handsomely in the middle of the season. Now, what if the Nets wound up with John Collins or some crazy shit? You know what I mean? Like on a humbug. You know what I mean? Like we don't know. But those are the type of deals that I would love to see the Nets get. The rich get richer for them.
Yeah, or at least the buyout market, right? They were the destination for the buyout market last year. And if you believe Kevin Durant's going to be healthy, then I don't see why you wouldn't want to be in Brooklyn if you're a buyout candidate this year as well. Other powerhouse in the East, the Chicago Bulls, they had their own scary injury with Zach LaVine hurting his knee. Less of a timetable, I guess no timetable on what his return could be. So maybe that's good news. Maybe that's just like a week-to-week thing and not worrying about Zach hurting his knee or having a major knee injury once again. But Mo, with the Bulls, they kind of came back down to earth a little bit. They got absolutely smacked in the second half of that Nets game, right? And I know they had some players out and everything, but so did the Nets, and like we don't need to get into that. But they get smacked in the second half. I think the Nets went on a 47-10 run in the second half. It was like 71-71, and then they went on a 47-10 run. And then that game against the Warriors, the Warriors really, really handled them in that one, and no Draymond. And then they just brain farted away a game against the Celtics to finish out the week. So a tough week for them. I guess that regression was coming. But without Zach LaVine, are you worried about them, or do you think that they can maintain as well?
No, I'm a little more worried because it's just like, one is Alex Caruso coming back. When are they going to start kind of like, that's another defensive guy, at least with when LaVine's on the court, you know, offensively, they can have that firepower with him and DeRozan. Now it's a little easier to lock in on this team with just kind of focusing on DeRozan for, you know, the entire game. And I think that makes it a lot more challenging for them without LaVine, you know, being that wingman or that second option that can just as explode just as much as DeRozan. It puts a lot more challenges on them offensively. And then, you know, now they got to keep up with them. You know, they got to hold the other team defensively and put points up. I don't know if they're going to be able to do both. Without Caruso, their defense is beginning to slip a little bit, and I think that's going to be an issue for them. And teams are coming. It's really bunched up in the Eastern Conference, one through six.
Yeah,
2.5 games separates, you know, the Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavs, who are six. Like, it won't take much of a fall to lose position here in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and to your point about the defense, I believe over their last 15 games, they're 27th. Right. And granted,
they've lost a lot of defensive talent.
For sure they have, but like 27th. Like, that's, I mean, they lose that much defensive talent.
Caruso's missed a lot of those games. Lonzo Ball's been out.
Yeah.
Derrick Jones Jr. got hurt. Who was very good for them, got injured. Derrick Jones Jr. Even before that, like, another guy with size and athleticism, Patrick Williams, has been hurt most of the season. So they've lost a ton of athleticism. And athleticism was one of the things that really separated them. You look out there, it's Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Javonte Green, Derrick Jones Jr. Those guys are just freak athletes everywhere, plus Caruso and Lonzo, long and versatile. Just the athleticism around Vucevic is super impressive.
Yeah.
And so when you lose a lot of those pieces, what made your defense great in the first place, or very stingy in the first place, tough to play against, is gone.
What's funny, they're still 10-5 during that stretch, right? So, like, right, the defense has been abysmal.
Salute to DeMar.
They're still 10-5.
Salute to DeMar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mo's brought this up, like, the how bunched up the East is pretty incredible. Like, the Heat are, I think, a game behind. I think the Nets are half game behind. And then yeah, everything else is, like, 1.5, 2, 2. And even the Hornets are 5 games back of Chicago. Like, it doesn't feel like the Hornets are only 5 games back of Chicago. It feels like Chicago, Brooklyn, they've just been way ahead of everybody, but that's not that big of a gap.
With as much time we have, it's not a big gap at all. You know,
I mean, Toronto's 5.5 back, right? Like, Toronto's in the mix there. Like, it's really bunched up.
The Knicks at 10. Yeah. Or just 6, you know, it's that's just how tight it is. So, you know, and that's why I'm more concerned about the Bulls with this injury with LaVine, because everything Jay was saying, the athleticism, but now it's just, you know, your boy Vooch has got to step up, Zach.
Yeah, that'll happen. I mean, we know that if anyone can do it, it's Vucevic, right? He's just got a history of carrying teams.
You've always
to
been
the
Vucevic believer.
All right, let's move on. They lose to the Dallas Mavericks. We'll get to the Mavs in a second. They lose to the Dallas Mavericks, but we had, what, an 11-game win streak by the Memphis Grizzlies. They just continue to win. They are way up the standings now. They're actually, as of recording this, they are a half game ahead of Utah for the 3 seed in the Western Conference. They're 2.5 back of Golden State as we're recording this for the 2 seed. And so, Memphis, like, I've talked about Memphis a lot this last week on the radio and just doing, you know, podcasts and radio hits and stuff. So I feel like, you know, I'm interested, Trey, in your thoughts on Memphis. I've seen some people who think they're legitimate and they're in the mix to really disrupt the Western Conference this year. And I've heard some people say, like, no, they need one more person out there to kind of take that scoring onus off of Ja Morant. At least when it gets to the playoffs, right? Not for the regular season, but at least when it gets to the playoffs. Trey, where are you on the Memphis Grizzlies in terms of what they can do the rest of the season and into the postseason?
Well, they remind me of that Phoenix team when they just acquired Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and they were trying to establish themselves and they made a run. And it's like, are the Suns for real? Well, the Grizzlies are for real, but I agree. They do need one more player to win a 7-game series. You know, I think that they're would be a tough first round matchup, but I don't see them going all the way. You know what I mean? Like, there's teams like Golden State, there's teams like Phoenix, there's teams like Utah that I just don't see those teams really kind of having that much of a huge problem with the Grizzlies. I think that they can go seven and it may work in the Grizzlies' favor, but I don't think that there's just all out dominance on the Grizzlies' side. You know what I mean? It doesn't get there. You know what I mean? And regular season's cool because it's good to click in the regular season.
And that's a big step forward, right? That's a big step forward from the last 2 years.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Absolutely, especially, you know, the development of, you know, trying to figure out what they, and they've drafted well, they've signed the right players, they've, you know, they built the team chemistry and things of that nature. They got some good vets and, you know, everybody's aware of their roles and then it's working in that favor. And I'm not saying that they're not a playoff team. They're a playoff team. They have arrived. They are, you know, Ja Morant's popularity has continued to rise. His game has continued to rise. He's here. But again, with the deciding factor, how much do the Grizzlies have to rely on him? How much do they have to rely on JJJ? You know what I mean? How much? Desmond Bane's cool. He's a good role player. He's a good role player. And that's the thing. They're in a weird situation where, you know, they can win a playoff series, but they can't win the playoff series.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good way of putting it, I think. Like I would honestly be kind of shocked if they didn't beat like Dallas or Denver or the Lakers or whoever they might end up facing that first round. Well, I guess Denver could, Jokic could just be a superhero and carry them, but I would expect them to win all those series. But Mo, with Memphis, you know, and I know Dylan Brooks is out right now, so they're not complete either. They need to get him back from, I think an ankle injury. But there is just something there, and maybe it's just that they're newer now, so that's what's keeping me from thinking they can make a deep run. But I think anything, like if they make the second round, boom, successful season, no matter what this regular season looks like. If the idea of them making the conference finals,
don't tell that to Ja.
That's a stretch. Oh, yeah, I know. Ja. By the way, Ja, I own jerseys that aren't yours, so I'm sorry. I don't wear them, but I do own them. I know that's going to be a sore spot. Also, okay, real quick rant on this. Memphis.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. That's a horrible giveaway, okay? Give the Vancouver jerseys. Give the throwbacks. You want to make fans out of these people giving in their jerseys for tickets? Save the tickets. Give them the Vancouver Ja Morant jersey.
Give them Bryant Reeves jersey.
give them a Blue Edwards or a Greg Anthony jersey, okay? I want to see that. Give them the throwback. Don't give them the new colors. Like the things that they have now, their regular jerseys, they're not good. They're not good uniforms. But you give them those Vancouver ones, you make fans for life. For life. That's how you up the game. That's how you do the giveaway. Yeah, Smo, your thoughts on the Grizzlies.
Rant done? No, it's funny because they remind me most like the Oklahoma City Thunder when they were young. You know, when KD and Russ, and they don't have the talent at that level, but just kind of the progression they're going. Zach, you say the second round would be mission accomplished. Home court advantage in the first round to me for the Grizzlies would be that's a successful season, regardless how the playoff series plays out.
Really? So you think know? Like let's say it's Grizzlies Lakers, right, in the first round, or Grizzlies Nuggets in the first round, and they have that home court advantage, but they lose that series. You don't think there would be like a level of like a real level of disappointment there after the first half of the season is gone?
I don't think so. When you just kind of look at the progression they made, right? Like they've just missed out in the play-in tournament in the bubble. They beat the Warriors last year, get into the playoffs, win one game in Utah in the first round. Awesome. Yeah. You know, and so like, you know, just the progression would be like, okay, make the playoffs outright. Not only are they going to make the playoffs outright the way it looks right now, they're going to have home court advantage.
Yeah.
That's a massive step forward, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, in the moment we'll be disappointed, but I think when you look back, you're like, damn, like that's really,
that's a real step forward.
That's a solid step forward where you're saying like, hey, for a young team, and this is a really young team, you know, you're looking at them going like, that's the progress you want to see from them and that desire and that hunger and everything. I love the way Morant goes about his business on the court. I wish he defended a little bit better, but everything they got going right now, like they're a fun watch. Like I love watching this team play. If they get to the second round, that's like damn near a championship for them. I don't know if they're good enough to win a playoff series. I love what really? Trey was saying.
Oh man. I don't know, man. I think they can take Dallas. Like if they face Dallas, I know Dallas just ended their streak, but like, I think if they face Dallas in the first round, they would take them. I think if they face the Lakers in the first round, they would take them. And I think if they face Denver, there is a little bit of a worry there with the Jokic matchup for me, but I still think like I would pick them to win that series.
Yeah. Like I don't know if I would pick them against the Lakers. Sorry. Like I'm still not playoff LeBron. I'm still banking on that could probably win you a series, assuming AD comes back healthy. So that's, you know, for me, at the very least, that's a toss up. I don't think that's one where I would just say the Memphis is going to win that one outright. So, you know, Dallas, I'm with you. They should probably beat Dallas. So maybe it depends on the matchups. But overall, like this is still a massive step forward for them. And you know, you got to be happy with what you're saying. Like I thought this could be a top six team, but I wasn't sure they'd be the three seed.
Right. At any point in the season, right?
I would say you were probably sure they were not going to be
right,
the three.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know what? You're right, Trey. You're right, Jay. I was pretty sure, pretty confident they were going to be at best the four seed.
What's most impressive to me about them is just the completeness of their young players. They defend, they compete, their offense has taken huge strides. Like, and they rely on so many young guys. It's all a young core. Like their best players are all rookie contracts, like super young guys. And for them to play the brand of basketball they do, just the selflessness, the just really just a cocky team, which I enjoy a lot.
I think a lot of that
is Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks, who are just
Desmond Bane talks a lot of shit too, man. Desmond talks a lot of shit.
And they're just but I'm most impressed by just a young group that doesn't seem to care about individual stats, anything like that. Like they come because they play the game the right way, but they always play the game the right way. And that's really tough for a lot of young guys to learn. And so I think Taylor Jenkins deserves a lot of credit for that, to build that type of core from such young guys is really impressive. And arguing about whether they can win two playoff series, like that's a win for them in the first place.
I guess that's true.
They've graduated to me into the tier with like Utah. I still put the Warriors, I still put the Suns in a tier of their own. But behind that, I think it's Utah and Memphis. And for Memphis to do that, like, that's impressive. And I don't think they're one of those homegrown teams that just surprise you with how quickly they've arrived.
The one thing that has been every night in these close games, it's a different role player has stepped up, right? Yeah. When they beat the Warriors, it was Tyus Jones. From
Zaire Williams, you know?
From him. They beat, I forget who it was, but John Conchar has a big game against Minnesota. You know, like it's down the stretch contributions from these role players. Those are the guys.
Contributions.
Yeah, that's why I just kind of went straight to it.
John,
keep working on that, Zach.
Contributions.
Wow. Okay. But those are the guys I'm not sure can deliver in the playoffs. Right? Like, those are the dudes that
that's probably asking a lot, right?
Yeah.
And they also don't have, like, Ja Morant has become a pretty good three-point shooter, which is scary. But I'm not sure they have the guy who can just, like, go get that tough mid-range bucket when there's perfect defense from the Warriors.
Yeah, you hope that's Dylan Brooks, right? But I don't know if that – he's so inefficient most of the time. I don't – like, we know he's willing to take it, right? Like, Dylan Brooks is not shy of shooting the ball. I just wonder if he'll be able to hit consistently enough. to be that guy.
Yeah. And it's tough in the playoffs when you don't have that like 6'7", 6'8" shot maker.
Yeah.
Who that can be go Desmond get his Bain? Own in the key moments? It could be. But I don't know. Like, there's just a difference between like Chris Paul and Devin Booker running pick and rolls and getting whatever they want versus Desmond Bane and Ja. But maybe Ja can just do it in a different way.
God, can you imagine Ja Morant talking shit to Russell Westbrook and vice versa for 7 games or whatever that playoff series would be?
Oh, please.
That would be so fun.
I didn't know I needed that series until
right
now.
That would be so fun. Regardless of how it ends.
Denver to drop some games.
Yeah,
so that
we need you to make this happen. We'll just guarantee just help us you out. Win the play-in tournament, okay? We'll guarantee that. Like, you get that. We'll even give you a bye, right? You get to go straight into that seventh seed. But we need that Grizzlies-Lakers first-round matchup for sure. All right. Speaking of the Dallas Mavericks, which we briefly mentioned them, they ruin the Bulls' 9-game win streak, and then they ruin the Grizzlies' 11-game win streak. But the weirdest moment, it wasn't either of those. It was the Luka Doncic, Franz Wagner little shit talking thing Saturday night where Franz didn't even score. Jalen Suggs scored, I think, on Luka in the paint, got an and one, and Franz walks up and like flexes and screams in Luka's face for Jalen Suggs. And then they start getting into it. And Luka starts doing the who the fuck are you, like who the fuck are you trash talk, right? Like, which was good. But then he pretended to wipe away tears from his face. And that's when I was like, that's so weak. Like, I think if Luka just leaves it at who the fuck are you, that's great. But then he does like the you're a baby, you know, when like whatever that motion is, like wiping tears. Like, and I think that's such a horrible way of trash talk. I just wanted more out of Luka there after such a big week.
What would you have preferred?
I don't think he needs to do any kind of thing there. Other than the who the fuck are you? Once he does that, like, I'm in. He's just showing, like, he's putting his paycheck on the table, right? Like, just here we go.
I feel like who the fuck are you is weak, though. Because if you're a great player, you can always revert to that, and it's just too easy. I like when there's a little creativity.
But doesn't it cut to like the core of like you're a rookie, you're down 20, your team's the worst team in the league, and I'm Luka Doncic. Like, I think if you start getting creative against Franz Wagner in that moment, I think that shows a little bit of panic. I understand what you're saying, but to me,
you think Franz had him rattled?
I think Franz had him rattled. Clearly, he did because Luka went after him after the weird flex and scream from Wagner, like. Off of Jalen Suggs scored. I've never seen that before.
Gotta love the Magic.
Oh my God.
Magic. Always entertaining.
They are entertaining, man. It's great, but
it's fun.
But the Mavs, I am just enough confused about them to know. I don't know whether I should believe in them to like be a team that can win a first round series because they survived pretty well without Luka. Luka still isn't really in shape, but I feel like he's playing better lately, and so maybe they're poised to go on a run, or maybe I'm just confused because they ended the Bulls streak and they ended the Grizzlies streak. But Trey, like, what do you think of the Mavericks right now? They're getting Kristaps back from health and safety protocol. They haven't even had Jason Kidd recently because of health and safety protocol. Like, do you think the Mavs are dangerous, or is this another first round and out team?
They're hard to gauge on, you know,
they
what I mean?
Really
what
are. Think about, yeah.
Yeah. It's you don't know what team is going to show up. Like even them waving Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, I didn't expect him to do all that and sign Marquise Chriss to the, you know, for
yeah,
the rest of
that
the
was
year.
Surprising.
But,
yeah.
It was surprising, but like, you know, if anything, I just can't get over them trading Josh Richardson for Steph Curry. I'm sorry.
It's a bad trade, man. That's an all-time bad trade.
It was bad at the time, yeah. And it's bad now.
It's really bad now.
It just didn't age well at all. But I'm going to say I think that the Mavericks are going to be okay. I don't think that they have enough to – again, they're in a strange situation like Memphis that, you know, they can either lose a playoff series or they can take a team to 7 games. You know, but like over the top, you know, I don't even like how fans are even pitting the whole Ja Luka thing. I mean, it's cool and it's a popularity contest.
What is that right now?
Players.
I noticed that
I have no idea.
I noticed that on Twitter too.
Yeah, I'm like, where did this come from?
Well, on NBA Twitter, it's no way you can like both.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it is illegal. You'll get arrested.
There's only one.
You have to choose. Right. You know, we got to the whole Trey Luka thing, and now it's Ja Luka. And, you know, it's always interesting because fan bases push, and, you know, Ja is getting popular by the day. But Luka's still good, man. He's just, you know, he's built like a construction worker. And, you know, but
it's like watching Larry the Cable Guy tear up the NBA, man. Like, it's just.
That was like, great.
You know, I'm keeping that. He's competitive, man, and he really wants to win. But, you know, I have yet to see him hit that extra switch and go over the top. They're going to make the playoffs, but if they're going to get caught like sleeping on a team, and the team's going to beat them again.
The interesting part to me about the Mavericks is that they've totally like flipped what they used to be good at.
Right.
You know, like they were one of the best offensive teams in the league. I think a couple of years ago, they were one of the best offensive teams in NBA history by efficiency rating. And now their offense is very average. Their defense is top five. And so that's interesting to me because I think there can be a formula there. If you're very good defensively, top five defense, and then you just have Luka to run the show and Jalen Brunson to get you just good enough shots, I think there's a formula there to be maybe more competitive than they have been. But I don't know if I trust that defense yet. And maybe it's just because of what they've done in the past. But it's very interesting that they're a totally different team than they have been with very similar cast of players.
Not even that, Jay, to piggyback on your defensive note. In the last 10 games, they have the best defensive rating in the NBA at 98.3.
Yeah. Which is,
I would have never have guessed.
Never that, once.
You know?
Never once.
And that's how they beat Memphis in that game. You know, they were forcing Memphis into turnovers. They were getting stops and then running out
Didn't they hold the Warriors to like 82 points?
You know,
right? Like a week ago?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. Like
they held the Bulls to 99.
Yeah.
They held the Warriors to 82. They held the Nuggets to 89.
I'll just say what we're all thinking. Jason Kidd, coach of the year. It's time.
Well, he's been out the last few games.
Okay,
right?
He's assistant coach of the year.
So maybe. No, but it's just wild to see that from what we've expected. And I don't think enough credit's also going to Jalen Brunson, because I think he's been a big, you know, like he's really stepped up in a way for them when Luka was out, and has continued when Luka has come in, kind of continuing to be a little bit of a playmaker, a little bit of everything for that team to make it easier for them to get Luka off the ball, to get it back to him. And I think that's been a big change for them offensively, which has kind of hurt the offensive rating a little bit, but I think it makes them a better team and it gets everybody more involved.
Yeah, I don't know. They're one of the most confusing teams to me. Because there's a lot to like about them, but at the same time, I'm kind of looking at them like, yeah.
Still like, not winning a playoff series.
Yeah. Right?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Right? Like, man, I don't know that they should have been in position to be favored at any point. Like, they shouldn't have. No one thought they were going to win that series against the Clippers in the bubble, and they don't, right? And then I don't know that anyone thought they were going to win that series going into last year's playoffs, but then they went up 3-2. And I can't remember which order this happened in, but one game they were just awful offensively, and the other game they were just awful defensively, right? And so they blow those 6 and 7 in one of those ways in each game. And so I think that was the first bit of disappointment of like, all right, is this team going to get out of the first round? If they go into the postseason facing, like, if the 4-5 matchup is them and the Jazz, nobody's expecting them to beat the Jazz, right? But that would be a third straight year of like first round and out. And now you start getting into like that Kevin Garnett territory in Minnesota. Like you start approaching it. Like, granted, they went 8 straight years of that, but you start heading that way. And then I don't know what you do with that, because it's not like, oh, Luka's not good enough. He's clearly great. But how do you put the rest of it around
him? Construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been the roster construction. I mean, Trey touched on it just right there. Curry for Richardson. That didn't pan out, yeah. Right? Like, their big move this year was Reggie Bullock, right? Like, not like, you know, they're in that tough position.
I love that signing for them too. I thought Reggie was going to be great for them.
Yeah, and so did I. But it's also they're in just such a tough position with the whole Kristaps Porzingis, you know, contract and what they're getting from him, right? Because they're paying him number two, number one type money. And he's like a very high-level role player, maybe a third option, you know, on some nights. And I think that's kind of what's hamstrung this team so that they can't really add the stuff they need to around Luka. Because we're all just waiting, going like, when are you going to add a second playmaker? You know, when are you going to add a legitimate...
Is Jalen Brunson not that guy? I like Jalen Brunson.
I love Jalen Brunson. Yeah.
I love him. I just want
to get Jalen Brunson to Boston.
Whoa!
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Wait. Can we do like a Marcus Smart, Jalen Brunson swap, or is that crazy? Because I would like to see both those guys swap. I'd love to see Marcus Smart next to Luka, and I'd love to see Jalen Brunson doing stuff and running things.
I like that deal.
Boston
hates it already, but there's got to be some version of that we can do, Jay.
That would be interesting. The Celtics do need a player like Brunson.
Maybe not giving up a player like Marcus Smart to get him, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that idea of him in Boston.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
That he would really help a lot. Or just somebody like him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But he's also the second best player on the Mavs, so.
Which is a problem, that though, talent-wise. That's my point, right? Yeah. Like, as good as Jalen Brunson is, if he's your second best player, you're not winning a playoff series.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's tough.
The other thing that stands out when I look at their stats, Luka and Porzingis are both shooting worse than 30% from three on huge volume.
Yeah, I mean, Luka just... I still think Luka can be a good shooter. He just takes awful shots.
Yeah.
He takes horrible three-point attempts. Everything is a step back. Everything.
Yeah, they're all tough.
And to your guys' point, like, you need someone on the ball to just get him some catch-and-shoot opportunities. Like, he should be taking five catch-and-shoot threes a game. Maybe he is right now. I don't even know what the hell he's taking. But but he should be getting a lot of those looks just off the catch, right?
Well, that's the problem, right? Like, besides Brunson, who else is going to be able to create for him? Like, they started early in the season trying to get Tim Hardaway Jr. being that guy, and that's not his role, you know. It's finding the part of having a being able to be a good catch and shoot guy is having somebody being able to pass it to you. that's the issue.
That's fair. He is he's taking one catch and shoot three a game. He's hitting 39% of them. He's taking 6.9 off the pull up three pointers a game. He's shooting 28% of those.
That's a lot.
Good Lord, man. That's so many.
You know, you want to see that more of like a 4-3 kind of split. Oh, you know, God. You don't want to see it that way.
Way worse than I thought it would be. I thought I was going to look it up and it was going to be like, hey, he's taking four catch and shoot threes a game. He's shooting 30% on him. I was like, oh, well, fuck me then, right? But no, it proves our point. Vindication. All right, speaking of vindication, let's get to some mid-season awards, guys. Oh, it's what everyone loves to discuss. If the season stopped today, who would win what? That's a little bit scarier of a prompt now after the last couple of years because the season did suddenly stop one day. But if the season stopped today for not tragic reasons, let's go over. We're going to do Coach of the Year. We're going to do Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and MVP. So for Coach of the Year, for me, and I've been saying this for a while, for me, I think JB Bickerstaff, Cavs coach, is the Coach of the Year right now. Not that anyone else isn't deserving, but he would get my pick right now. Jay, who's your Coach of the Year?
Eric Spoelstra.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think because it's not just the way they've played well through all the injuries and COVID that they've had. It's the level that guys improve under Spoelstra. Like, they've got Max Strus, who was a Celtics castoff a couple years ago. And he's really freaking good now.
Yeah.
And Spoelstra's not afraid to start him when he outplays Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think when I looked at that Heat roster, I thought if they get injury problems, they're going to be in a lot of trouble because there's not enough depth there. And that Heat organization has produced depth.
Culture,
and
I think baby.
A lot of Culture. That goes to Spoelstra for putting guys in the right situations. And also for seeing how guys can fill a role when they're not quite filling that, you know, like they were just grooming Max Strus to be the three-point threat, sort of like a Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
While he was out of the rotation for the last couple of years, and now they're reaping the benefits. And so I'm just wildly impressed by
Caleb Martin's been a player for them. Like Gabe Vincent's been a player for them. Omer Yurtseven's been a good player for them in Bam's absence. Like they really just do plug guys in.
Yeah. And they've had a lot of bad luck with absences.
Yeah.
And they've just kept going. And Spoelstra, I mean, it's been a long time that Spoelstra's been one of the best coaches in the league. But I think this job, even among all the great jobs that he's done, this job really stands out.
Mo, what about for you? Who's your coach of the year?
I would have gone Bickerstaff since you took him. I'm going with Taylor Jenkins.
Ooh, okay.
Just for everything we touched on with Memphis, none of us expected them to be in the top three at this point. And if the season ended today, that's where they'd end. And they're in the top 10 on defensive rating and offensive rating. I'm going with them.
Trey, who's your coach of the year right now?
Billy Donovan.
Great pick. Yeah, that's hard to argue with.
Yeah, that's fact.
Number one team in the East. No one had them being there. And some of this is like you got to admit, like some with coach of the year is often like we didn't see this team coming. Right.
Right.
Like that tends to be what it is. And I think three of these four picks have definitely been that. In terms of Taylor Jenkins, I don't think anyone, as we said, no one saw them being the three seed at this point. I don't think anyone saw Cleveland being good. And then with Billy Donovan and the Bulls, no one saw them as the one seed in the East at this point in the season.
I also love with Bickerstaff, the whole league is going small. And
dude's going 3 7-footers.
He just decided, you know what, we're going to play our way and we're going to play differently than anyone.
He put Markkanen as a small forward.
I thought he was trying to get fired when he did that. I was like, dude, are you serious?
He was on the Gilbert Arenas plan. That's how he wanted the Lakers to line up. Remember?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it looks like this used to be like kind of a promising thing. It looks like the Wolves in the mid 90s where they had a center, right? They had like Dean Garrett, and then they had Kevin Garnett, and then they had Tom Gugliotta. Like that was their front line. Oh, yeah, man.
And then they've lost two of their three best guards to injury. And
Darius Garland's so good, man. He has been
so good. Everyone thought they were going to be bad in the first place.
Yeah.
All-star. he's an all-star this season.
Garland?
There have been a lot of great coaching performances, though. Like, you look down the list, we could put Monty up there, Steve Kerr. Like, we haven't even talked about those guys, and they've done great, great jobs.
But you have to look at it. You have to look at it as the coach of the year is always the My Bad award, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It's always the coach that should have won it wins it the following year.
Monty Williams.
Whoever.
Maybe. We give Monty Williams.
You know what I mean? Like that's how it normally works. They don't never really reward the obvious first seed or guys that do all that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or
like Steve Kerr's not getting it this year, right? That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I think he's doing an amazing job though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
For the situations that's had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he definitely deserves to get it. So, I wouldn't be shocked if he got it, though, just on some My Bad shit.
This is also a credit of how good coaching is in the league right now. Like, I feel like the level of coaching, there's not a lot of places you could point to and go, that's a bad coach.
Yeah.
There's just the league's gotten smarter, and we got some really good coaches, more than bad, which in years past was not the case.
Yeah, if that bum Greg Popovich would get his act together, maybe we could have a 30 across the board.
Zach, I will fight you. I have to by rule. Like, I will be fighting you later today.
All right, let's move on to defensive player of the year. For me, it's Draymond Green. Trey, I don't know where you would go with this, but I think I have admitted this publicly. I voted for Rudy Gobert last year, and then about a month after voting was in, I was like, man, I should have voted for Draymond. Not that it would have changed anything, but like thinking about what he did last year and dragging that team to be a top five defense. And this year, he's missed some time and they've fallen off a little bit. But the way that he is like he literally does everything for them. Does everything, has everyone
it's a
in position.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's got to be
a no-brainer that is Draymond's year. This is Draymond's year because, like you mentioned, we watched a couple games where they've got, clapped nationally. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. National games where I'm like, why are we even watching this? And it shows how much he's quarterbacking from the back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Pretty much being the middle linebacker of this defense, making sure guys are there, rotating guys there. Even some parts of the offense of how things run. If he's not on the floor, it doesn't work. And, you know, defensively, you know, he makes sure that that defense is elite. And he's like he's a one-man machine, and everybody kind of builds off his energy.
And I think it's tough to hand out credit to one player for lifting everyone else around him. But Draymond's impact on everyone else is enormous. Like, the amount of talking he does, the amount of covering up he does, I just think he should have more than one Defensive Player of the Year award. And this year, after a couple down seasons for him, last year wasn't really a down season for him, but the year before was. Last year, he still wasn't at this level. He's in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
He has been locked in from the jump. And that's a team that has a lot of spare pieces. Like, they're not a team that was loaded with players that everyone else looked at and was like, yeah, they're super talented. And I think Draymond has been the best defensive player in the year and held them to a standard where everyone else is at that level consistently too.
There's no player in the league with the defensive IQ that Draymond Green has.
It's
plain and simple.
It's ability ridiculous to watch how he blows up possessions like three or four times in the same play.
But it's the ability to read the play and diagnose what needs to happen in a split second, and then get the guy who's supposed to rotate there, is something we really rarely ever see. And I think I'm with you guys, hands down.
Now,
it's Draymond.
To be fair, before the city of Salt Lake gets pissed at us, with Rudy Gobert out with COVID health and safety protocols, that Jazz team became shit. That Jazz team became really bad, right? Like, they lost in Toronto, they lost in Indiana, they lost in Detroit. They got clapped by Detroit. They gave up 126 points to Detroit with Hassan Whiteside out there trying to patrol the lane and do what Gobert does. Like, they've been really, really bad. They gave up 122, 125.
Was he trying to patrol the lane, or was he just kind of standing there?
That's a fair question. Okay. That's a fair question. But they gave up 122, 125, 126, 111 in a 20-point loss to the Cavs. Like, to be fair to Gobert and his candidacy, like, he is going to be right there all season, but I still think it's Draymond.
Someone put it to me like this a few years ago, and it stuck with me. If you want one possession, if you know you're going to have one possession at the rim, you won't go bare. At that time, it was like a few years ago. If you have one possession, you on the perimeter, you want Kawhi. But if you have one possession and you don't know what's coming,
you want Draymond.
You want Draymond. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And that's how it is to me. Like, his versatility and his intelligence are just silly.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. All right, let's go to Rookie of the Year. Evan Mobley seems to be the guy running away with this thing. Does anyone have anybody other than Evan Mobley as the Rookie of the Year? Scottie Barnes, Cade Cunningham, any of those guys? Franz Wagner?
If Jalen Suggs continues to get Luka pissed off, no, I'm just throwing some bad.
I think we all agree. It's not really that close. I mean, I'm a big fan of Giddey out in OKC, but
yeah, he's been good.
You know, it doesn't come close. Mobley is looking like a year, 2 year, three player amongst his peers.
And I think with Scottie Barnes, right, he had such a great start. But as they got healthy, Pascal came back. You know, OG Anunoby got healthy again. Like, as they've gotten healthier, his role has become less and less. And it's not that he's not important. He's still a very important part of that team. But it's hard to keep that level up. Whereas Mobley, they need him out there every single game.
I mean, Mobley's the reason why they're able to play Markkanen at the three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Mobley and Allen, good, yeah. Right? Like, they're that good defensively. It makes up for Markkanen. It's not like Markkanen's an amazing defender at the three. They have enough backup behind him.
Yeah.
And one of those guys is a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, and doing it on both ends. I just don't think there's much of an argument.
That's what's crazy about him. He's so young and just from the start has impacted winning in every way for them. It's like, most young guys come in, they can get a bucket for themselves. They can do make some highlights. But when you look on a play-to-play basis, what are they really doing to help a team? They're still learning. Mobley came right in and changed them. And I mean, I'm wildly impressed by that dude.
Yeah.
The way he moves his feet for a 7-footer is outrageous.
And his instincts. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing yet, and his instincts are damn near perfect.
It's that USC pedigree.
Maybe that means he does know what the hell he's doing.
I don't know. Like, you think, like, he doesn't know what he's doing at an NBA level, and he's this good.
Yeah, it's still going really fast for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, wait 3 years. And just see what
he's gonna, he's gonna like completely dominate that Defensive Player of the Year award for a long time.
I don't know which young guys are coming up in AAU or from overseas, but he's gonna dominate that award for a long time at some point.
Gonna be on a lot of old defensive teams.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right. MVP. I think that there are 7 legitimate MVP candidates right now. 7 legitimate ones. I think we can
who
go
the 6th and 7th.
So, well, this may be
let's
a
hear the
surprise.
Whole list. Let's hear the whole list.
All right, in no particular order, because I'm going to be a coward. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, Ja Morant, and Joel Embiid. I think those are 7 legitimate MVP candidates.
Yeah, that's probably about the right list right there. I think I'm gonna go Joel Embiid.
What?
Right now.
I did not see right that coming.
Wait.
I thought I was gonna get pushback for including him, and you're going
the MVP. No. I honestly, it's been the quietest run right now because all we do when we talk about Philly is the Ben Simmons trade, and we're not watching what they're actually doing with him. Since Christmas, he's averaging almost above 30 points a game. He's been a beast on both ends of the court.
What does that mean, almost above 30 points a game? Does that mean he's under 30
points? I don't remember. Because last time I checked, it was above 30, but I saw that
he only scored 25 the other night, so I didn't know.
That is a confusing sequence of words. Almost above 30
points. I was trying to dazzle you with that. So you wouldn't notice.
I can tell you this, because this is straight from the power rankings, which you can find on theathletic.com that are coming out Monday morning. Over the last 18 games, now you can figure out when that started, but over the last 18 games, he's averaging 30.6 points per game.
See, above 30.
Well, yes. Almost above 30.
Leave me alone. But I just think what he's done with this team.
Wow.
They've won 9 out of their last 10 games. They've been on a roll. He's been a beast on both ends of the court defensively. He's passing at a rate we've not seen him pass at before. Like, he's diamond guys. He's finding the cutters. He's making the extra pass. He'll kick it out of the double teams. It'll lead to a swing 3 and all of those things. I'm just looking at it now because I'm not enamored by everybody else. You know, like, it just hasn't been. It's one of those years where I look at it going like, I don't really want to pick an MVP right now, because I think, like you said, it's a 7-person race, and I think any of them can win it. I just, if I'm going to pick a name, I'm going Joel Embiid right now.
I did not. I thought I was going to get so much shit for including Embiid. Wow.
Nope.
Oh, no, not from Mo.
Trey, who's your MVP right now?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's a good pick. He's been so good. He's been so damn good. By the way, he is your leader in fourth quarter points per game right now. It was DeMar DeRozan all season. Now it's a Giannis. Giannis has surged ahead of him. Giannis has been ridiculous, Trey.
Yeah.
Jay King.
If it stopped today, like literally today, it would be Kevin Durant to me.
Yeah.
And because of what he's done,
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah,
for a team that's really had a lot of flaws, a lot of issues, they've had so many variables. With is Kyrie going to play? Is what's going on with James Harden? Like, Joe Harris has been out. The Blake Griffin just went from being a legit contributor last year to, like, maybe he's dunzo. And Kevin Durant has just played 37 minutes a night and been spectacular for all 37 minutes, carried them to a lot of wins that they probably shouldn't have. So he's hurt. He probably will drop out of the MVP race because of how much time he's going to miss.
Yeah.
But so far, the way he's played for a team that's been so wobbly, that to me is the MVP. And Steph Curry was my early season favorite, but he's dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, he's been really bad over the last month and a half.
He's probably like at the end of the like he's probably sixth or seventh on the MVP.
Oh man, I'm so torn right now.
Nah, I had to move him down, bro. He struggled, but I'm with you know, Jay on that as far as Kevin being close.
Yeah, I think it's just tough.
Giannis just upped his play up so much lately, and it's hard to fight that. You know what I mean?
Really,
like,
is.
Early on, I think we all were like KD. And we probably still would have been them two neck and neck, just especially based off of, you know, the Nets roster and the things that he's had to carry with them. But Giannis has just been dominating against like very good teams. And you have to credit it. I can't take that credit for him. He's like Gobert. They're always going to be in the conversation. Yeah. They're always going to be neck and neck. That, like, if they win, you're going to be mad about it. But if they lose, you can be frustrated about it too, because they're that good. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not mad if it's KD or Giannis in this situation. And defensively, I'm not mad if it's Draymond or Rudy Gobert.
I think having Steph sixth or seventh is way too low. I just got to fight back against that.
But he's shooting like
he hasn't
like
been 35%
from the field over his
agreed.
Last like 15, 20 games. Like, it's been bad for a while.
But they are 31-11, and they've been outscored by about 3 points per 100 possessions when he's off the court. If you look at their numbers with Draymond, they're just about as good with Draymond on the bench as they are with him on the court. Steph has been everything, and it's hard to quantify his impact, and it's hard to say, like, because when he's missing shots, even he's still doing so much for everybody else to free up everybody else that I sometimes struggle. Like, does he deserve credit for how much of an impact he makes just because he's out there? You know what I mean? And just because he's running
really
around drawing so much attention.
But does that make him the
Jay,
most?
But does that really count?
Yeah.
I think, like, that counts.
Does that keep him in the top three? Because again, we had him in top three for a while.
Yeah.
And I feel that just how Zach Harper, shameless plug, does the rankings.
Yeah.
Right? There should be a rise and a fall.
Yeah.
Ja Morant deserves to be in these conversations. Jokic doesn't get enough love. Joel Embiid doesn't get enough love.
Guys, I've decided my pick's Jokic right now. My pick's Jokic. And here's why. Let me give you these stats right now.
Go for it.
When Jokic is on the floor for a team that is barely above 500, the Nuggets are plus 9.7 points per 100 possessions. To put that in perspective, the Golden State Warriors are the most dominant team in the league this year at plus 8.7 points per 100 possessions. So the Nuggets are better than the Warriors when Jokic is on the floor. When Jokic is off the floor, they are minus 10.2 points per 100 possessions. To put that in perspective, the worst net rating in the league is the Detroit Pistons at minus 9.3. So they are the most dominant team with him, and they are by far the worst team without him. And I get it. You got to have more team success than what the Nuggets have in order to get an MVP, but you can't really point to, like, Jokic is even playing defense better than he ever has this year. When he has to, like, he literally has to do everything just for them to not be the worst team. And that, if we're going to talk about most value, that seems like the most value to me.
And it's starting to be one of those MVP races where somebody like that could have a chance.
Right.
Because for a while, it looked like Durant and Stephen Curry, like, their teams were going to have great records. They were going to be...
I thought I was going to pick DeRozan when we started talking about this. And now I keep looking at the Jokic stuff. I'm like, I got to go with Jokic right now.
It's wide open. Like, that's the thing. Like, you just can't make the decision now, right? Thankfully, the season's going to continue going. It's just wide open. It's a wide open race.
Now you just jinx the rest of this day in the news that's going to hit because we recorded this at like LeBron, 11 in the morning on the Pacific.
Does LeBron deserve to be in ballots?
For what?
For what?
For what?
No, because he was a bad GM. And he's not doing a lot defensively, Jay. Like, honestly, when you watch him defensively,
he's
on the
so
weak side of things like that, he's not caring. I've seen it enough. Like, I'm tired. There's the clip of the Jokic polo pass fake and then throwing the pass.
That's how he's been playing defense all year.
Yeah, exactly.
Or since he got back from the ab injury.
He didn't move. basically. And it was, and he bit on the fake, but then it's like he just stopped, and he does it all the time. You can't. I don't think he deserves to be on a ballot.
Jay, they're a negative with him on the court this year. They're -0.2 with him on the court, -3.6 with him off the court.
I'm with you. I don't think he
now
deserves
we know
to
there are some
either.
Media members who will give him a vote. Maybe
he
not
will,
first
how
place.
How many votes is he going to get? How many votes do you think he would get?
What's the highest vote you think he's going to get? Not how many. What's it, like? Does he get a third place vote?
I think he gets a second place.
That would be.
I bet someone votes him first.
Crazy. That would be crazy.
Someone will vote him first.
Oh my god.
Trying to get in with the media.
Look,
their post-writing career.
I got this script. I need Spring Hill to green light for me. Got to get it in.
If you're doing Space Jam 2, I got an idea.
A newer legacy. Yes, I got you. I got some thoughts, LeBron. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to all of our podcasts. No Dunks. The rest of the individual team podcast. Make sure you're checking out the Daily Ding right here on the Athletic Podcast Show feed. And of course, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle.
And also catch the episode of Stargazins featuring me. Yeah, that's right. Me. About me.
With Jovan. You and Jovan.
Chopping it up about my career trajectory and Entourage 101.
No offense to the other guests. Finally, he gets a celebrity on this podcast. And for Jay, for Trey, for Mo, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.